time to talk with Rob Raines. Rob, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm great, Frank. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. So much to discuss here. Let's go pitching first. With the players going down and now with a 28-man roster on Friday, is it Genesis Cabrera and Alex Reyes up, do you believe?
I think that's two, and then the question will be, I mean, obviously there are three pitchers affected, if, you know, Carlos Martinez also being on the injured list, and they'll have to have a replacement for him as a starter, which could be Austin Gomber, it could be Kim, you know, they could move him, decide to move him out of the closer role back into the rotation, so it could be one of those two choices to start, but they'll need another pitcher, I think, if they're going to just go, you know, match position by position, and that we'll know that, you know, should know that later today, but Zach Thompson is a guy that always former first-round pick in 2019, I think is a good possibility. He's not on the 40-man roster, but they can create a couple of roster moves, you know, spaces pretty easily. So we'll see if they decide to go pitching route for that third pitcher or what they decide to do.
Well, if they do choose Zach Thompson and he is a career starter, granted, brief career, do you think they'd give him a shot? Or do you think it makes more sense to have KK and then that Gomber, Ponce de Leon, you know, hybrid start?
Yeah, I would go Gomber right now because he's terrific in summer camp. I mean, he was great in spring training too, but he was great. So he might have been their best pitcher in summer camp. So I would let him start and see what happens. I mean, I think, you know, Thompson, you know, is going to be a starter long-term, probably even as early as next year, maybe in the rotation. But, you know, right now they just need bodies up here, I think. And it may not even be him. They may not feel like they need to fill that spot. They may fill that spot with a position player. I don't know. That's the one spot that's pretty interesting. I think we know for sure that it's going to be Reyes and Cabrera. And, you know, then I think we know, you know, obviously they added Brad Miller yesterday, and I think Schrock will be added to the roster to be the extra infielder, and then that leaves the one extra position that's going to be the, you know, the one they have to figure out for sure.
Okay, so Miller, who has been activated, Max Schrock, who will be activated, so you need one more position player. And
or pitcher. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It depends on what they want to do with the, you know, with the, you know, they lost seven, but they only can have five because you get two of those spots were cut from the 30 to the 28 roster anyway.
So do you think we're coming down to a very fascinating final spot with their best pitching prospect, Zach Thompson, and your best overall prospect in Dylan Carlson? It comes down to one spot for those two?
It could be, although I would, let me say this, based on the conversations that I've had in the last, you know, 14 hours or whatever, I would be surprised if it's Dylan Carlson. I'm not saying it won't be, but I would be surprised because I just don't think they're going to pull that, just make that choice right now, primarily because none of the injured players to this point are outfielders. And I know that they could obviously use the DH too, but their commitment all along, their commitment back last winter, their commitment in spring training, their commitment in summer camp was to see what they had in Lane Thomas and Tyler O'Neill. And I don't think that has changed. I think now they have an opportunity to get extra bats for, you know, those guys because of the DH situation. But I think, you know, Dylan is going to be here, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's here sooner rather than later, but I don't think it's going to be in this go around.
Okay. So if they don't go pitcher, and it's not Dylan Carlson, who's the guy?
It could be Nogowski. I mean, again, he's another non-roster guy that have to pull up, but he would be your backup first baseman then if something were to happen to Goldschmidt. But they could always pull him up later if they, you know, needed to in a last-minute thing. I think it's going to be a pitcher. And I think that's just the way I read the tea leaves.
And that's certainly the way the Cardinals have gone, not just in the recent past, but for years and years, to load up with more pitchers on the roster. All right.
And so I think it's also significant, Frank, of this too, that one of the things that changed with this whole roster situation that, and I don't know for sure if it's been announced or not, but I saw enough people reporting it yesterday that I'm sure it's true, is that, you know, remember originally when they started this season, the roster was supposed to be at 28 now starting Thursday for 2 weeks, and then it was going to drop to 26, which is what it was supposed to be if it had been a normal 162-game season. It was supposed to be that way for the rest of the season. But now they've decided as part of this thing, even though some people wanted it to stay 30 for the whole year, they've decided it's going to stay at 28 for the rest of the season. It's not going to drop to 26. So you could bring up a guy like that and know that he could be here for the rest of the season, not have to worry about, you know, have two or more guys you have to drop in 2 weeks. And then the corresponding move to that is they're going to increase the taxi squad size from 3 players to 5 players. So starting the next time the Cardinals go on the road, they can have a maximum of 5 players traveling with them instead of 3.
Do you think the Cardinals will get 60 games in? I know it's actually possible, although it's going to be tight.
I don't know. That's going to be awful close. I think they can make up the Milwaukee games because they have two more series against Milwaukee, so I don't think those are going to be a problem. I think the four games against Detroit are the issue because this was the only week that they were supposed to play them. So they're going to have to find mutual off days. They're going to have to, you know, be really creative, I think, on how they're going to make up those four games against Detroit.
And so if the Cardinals finish with like 56 games and the Cubs finish with 60, they go on winning percentage, and that's a tough break because you'd like to think you could have feasted on the Tigers.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, that was the original thought going into it, was those extra games against the Tigers and the Royals, which you don't think will be going to be all that competitive. And in the American League Central, you kind of got the advantage of having those extra games. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. I mean, this is such a crazy season that I don't think, you know, you have to just, first of all, think about the health and well-being of all these guys affected, not only on the Cardinals, but on other teams. You know, this virus is just a horrible, horrible thing, and it's just something that everybody in society is having to deal with. And hopefully these guys will all be able to recover and get through this thing, you know, quickly, and we'll get back to playing baseball, and, you know, won't have any more issues. But you just don't know.
I know that 99.999% of the time, a catcher does not get hurt. But with that said, there's still a possibility. So would you ever anticipate a game where Wieters and Kisner are both in the lineup? One is a DH and one is a catcher?
Possibly, yeah. Because you could always, I mean, just, you know, as long as you have both of them in the lineup, if the catcher were to get hurt, you could just slide the other guy, you know, who's been the DH and the catcher. All that happens is you'd lose the DH and your pitcher would have to bat. But then you could just use pinch hitters, you know, and you'd be talking one game and you'd be talking, you know, probably only a few innings of one game, unless it happened in the first inning or whatever. So I could see them doing that at some point. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about this whole thing is you just don't know. Okay, these guys have to be out a minimum of a week, but it's going to be longer than that, I think, in some cases, because they're going to recover at different rates too. And so, and they have to be back to 100%, you know, healthy before they can play. So I think the biggest unknown is it's not like, and John Mozeliak said it the other night, it's not like a sprained ankle or something where you can have kind of a timetable of how long the guy should probably be out. You just don't know how long these guys are going to be out. And I think it's going to vary from player to player.
Yeah, if you look at it, it says 7 days, but in effect, it's 8 days. So the earliest we're going to see Yadier Molina and Paul DeJong will be the following Sunday, I imagine.
And I don't know when that 8-day window begins. Does it begin from when they're placed on the injured list? Does it begin when they're tested positive? And we don't know who the two people were that tested positive first on that Friday. You know, so that's why I say it's going to be kind of a rolling thing about, okay, do those two guys, are they eligible to come back first, whoever they were, and then everybody else that happened on Saturday and Sunday? I mean, there's still a lot of questions that we don't know about how this all is going to work.
Why don't you think the final name has been released?
Players' personal decision by the player involved.
And why wouldn't the player – I mean, it's not like they're scorned, I don't think. It's not, you know –
No. I don't know. I mean, I think you can put you saw the six players they put on the injured list yesterday, and none of them were placed on a COVID injured list. They were all just placed on the injured list. So, you know – that's five of the six were people who were identified as admitting to having, you know, okay to release their names if they tested positive for COVID. The sixth one did not. So, you know, use your own judgment on what that means.
Mm. Boy, do you think the Cubs have put themselves in a position where, hey, you play 500 baseball, are you going to win the division here?
They're playing really well. And one of the things that they've got going for them is they've had no cases of COVID on that roster. I don't know for sure how they've done that, if it's just luck or if they've done something different than some of these other teams have done to manage to avoid that. But I think as soon as this season started and you knew that there was going to be issues with the coronavirus, I think everybody all said that the team that's going to have the best chance of winning is the one that can stay the healthiest. And to this point, the Cubs have been the team that have done that.
What about this angle with these pitchers who haven't been able to grip a baseball? It's a 9-day layoff, and then you're saying – okay, Jack Flaherty, go out there on Friday night and throw 96. What about the injury concerns?
I think that is a factor. I think it is something they have to address. And I don't think you're going to see him pitch more than 50. I'd be surprised if he went more than 50 or 60 pitches on Friday night. I think it's going to be pretty much a game committee game. You know, like let him try to get three innings in, hopefully if he can, and then, you know, just go to the bullpen and get an inning or inning and a partial innings out of a lot of the other relievers out there because they all need work. They haven't pitched in, yeah, you said 9 days. So you got all hands on deck for Friday and Saturday both, I think. But you can't expect a guy that's been out that long to go out there and play without even being able, not even just not throwing any game, but not being able to throw bullpens, not being able to go run. I mean, all the things that they do between starts to get ready, you know, they haven't been able to do. So it's, but then you look at the Marlins, you know, they were out just as long, if not longer, than the Cardinals did. They come out and had a lot more people affected by this and a lot of new players. They come out and win 4-0 last night, so over the Orioles, so their first game back. So who knows? That's baseball.
Speaking of the Marlins, I think the initial reaction as soon as their story broke by most, well, baseball's just not going to get through it. This is going to be the first of many, and this, there's no way we're going to have a World Series. And then maybe a day later, you think, well, it was only the Marlins. And then the Cardinal thing broke. Wait a minute. This storied franchise, there's no way there's going to be a World Series. Baseball is going to be shut down. Well, here they are plowing through. There's 30 teams. Only two teams have been affected. As we speak at 10:44 on this Wednesday morning, if you had to guess, will we have a World Series? Which way would you guess?
I would say it's possible. I don't know that I would give it maybe 60-40 odds that they would say yes. I think you're probably being a little bit naive if you think there's not going to be another team affected, if you don't think there's going to be another outbreak on some club. And I think, you know, the interesting thing about the Cardinals situation is, and Mazzella talked about this last night, is the best thing that happened to the Cardinals in all of this is that they had Thursday off. Because the two players that tested positive on Wednesday, the Cardinals didn't know they were positive until late Thursday night, which would have been after the game, a game on Thursday night. They would have been around their teammates all day on the bus, in the clubhouse, on the field. You would have had more than 13 people that would have contracted the virus and tested positive if they had been together on Thursday. So their lucky break was that they didn't have a team activity or a game or anything on Thursday. So, you know, that's how quickly this thing can spread. And that's why I say I'd be surprised if there's not another team or two or three or whatever that are going to have some kind of a situation, whether it be as bad as the Marlins, as bad as the Cardinals, I don't know. But there are going to be more players that come down. I think it's just the nature of the virus. I mean, we've seen that throughout society. It's just horrible.
Wait, let's go through this one more time. So are they on their way to Milwaukee at the time on Wednesday? Are they in St. Louis?
Well, they tested. Well, they're already in Minneapolis. They played in Minneapolis right. Tuesday and Wednesday. And so they left St. Louis on Monday night to fly to Minneapolis, played Tuesday night, had the testing on Wednesday. I don't know what time, but obviously before the game. Flew after the game on the plane from Minneapolis to Milwaukee, got checked in the hotel late Wednesday night in Milwaukee, then had an off day on Thursday with no scheduled activities. Now, there are a few guys that were together, and I think that's where some of the contact tracing went in to see who was with who on that Thursday activities, but it wasn't a whole team. You know, all 57 people in the traveling party were not together at any one time, and then got the test results late Thursday night. Those two guys had tested positive.
Good stuff, Rob. What if people want to read you and follow you, how do they do it on your great website?
At Rob Raines, R-O-B-R-A-I-N-S, stlsportspace.com is the website. And just, yeah, kind of monitoring all this and seeing what happens. It's going to be an interesting weekend, that's for sure.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
All right, Frank. Thank you.
All right. If you want to help out a